To start a new series titled The Bait of Satan. It's 3 weeks long, today and the next 2 weeks. And I want to explain what the bait of Satan is. The theme of the entire three-week series is about offendedness. We all get offended in life. The question is, what do we do with it? And John DeVere says this, if we're not careful of how we handle our offendedness from another person, we will take the bait. Now, the bait is what's on the tray in the trap. And when we put our paw on the tray and we hang on to the bait, we become trapped in offendedness of what somebody else has done to us. So here's the definition. Offendedness is this. It's the gap between expectation and performance. Let me illustrate. Everybody here has expectations of other people. Let's say this is it. When that person at the office does not come up to the level of expectation, or my coworker, and their performance is down here, there's a gap. And this gap is called offendedness. Now, do you realize husbands can offend wives? And wives can offend husbands. Children can offend parents. Parents can offend children. It goes in all different kinds of directions. What's going on? I have an expectation of how a person should treat me or what I'm looking for. And when the performance comes in down here, there's a gap. That gap is a big deal because that's where offendedness happens. Now, there are some offenses that are very small. One and done, we get past them. It's not a big issue. There's other offenses that are much bigger. I mean, we're talking deep offenses. Those are more difficult to get past. And here's what happens. We end up in a trap. When we hang on to an offense or we don't deal with it successfully. So in your notes, read with me, Proverbs 18:19. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. I was up at the jail Friday, and I said to one of the pods, group of guys, I said, do you know anybody that had a falling out or a fight, and they haven't talked with somebody in years? One guy raises his hand, and he says, yeah, me. I think about 15 years ago, he and a good friend took a trip. Something happened on the trip. He said he hadn't spoken to him since. Offendedness builds walls. You know why? We want to protect ourselves. A wall keeps people out, and it keeps certain things in. But when we build a wall, we are putting up a barrier that prevents us from doing life with that other person in the way we did in the past. And so offendedness, wow, it says arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. We all get that. When we get deeply hurt, disappointed, or offended by somebody else, we just kind of want to shut them out. And sometimes maybe that's what we need to do. But let me tell you the big idea of the message. It's in your notes. The enemy of your soul, Satan, wants to trap and control you as you hang on to the offense. If you are hurt deeply, if you have been, and you're here today, and you have deep-seated anger towards someone, can I tell you? You and I are probably in the trap. We're confined, we're locked in. And understand the enemy wants us to live there. So I'm going to reset this thing. And I'll get it to work here. So this trap represents our lives. It's, there we go. It's just life. The enemy wants us to enter one side or the other, put our paw on the tray where the bait is, that's called an offense, and if he can get us to take the bait, here's what happens. The walls come down and we are trapped inside ourselves. That's where he wants us to live. He wants us to be confined. You know why? He wants us miserable. He doesn't want us happy. He doesn't want us to know joy. That's what the enemy's goal is. Here's the second half of the big idea. Jesus wants to free your heart from anything which restricts the flow of his love. In other words, if we have walls up inside us, there's a love flow restriction going on in our hearts. Other people won't see it, but we know it. You know why? I'm offended. The difference between expectation and how it actually happened toward another person, and I put a wall up there. Now, Jesus wants to free us from that. So here's what I want to do today. It's a real simple outline. I have 2 points and then conclusion. And I'm going to walk through 2 truths about offendedness. Number one, in your notes. The first thing is this, 2 truths. Everyone will get offended in life. Everybody here is going to be offended at some point in their life. Read with me Luke 17, 1 in your notes. It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Here's what Jesus is saying. It's impossible to get through life without being offended. That's just a part of the territory. Now, in John 16, 13, let's read that one. Words of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So here's what Jesus is saying. In this world, you're going to have trouble, and part of the trouble is something called offendedness. But then he says this, I have overcome the world. Take heart. In other words, he's provided a rescue for us to get out of the trap when it happens. Now, I'll just be real honest here. There are different kinds of offenses. And as I mentioned earlier, some are small, some are medium, some are big. And I never want to minimize the pain if somebody has a deep offense in their life, perhaps what was done to them years ago. It could be a child being molested. It could be the betrayal of a person that was very meaningful in your life. I mean, there's different categories, and I'll never want to discount the pain or the hurt involved with those kind of offenses. And Jesus says, I want you to know something. You're going to have those offenses, but I have overcome them for you. I've conquered them on your behalf. That's why I died on the cross. And so there's a relief and rescue plan for each of us when it comes to being offended. All right. So number one, we're all going to experience it. Okay, number two. The second truth is this. It's a choice to stay offended. You can't dodge that bullet. It's going to happen. But number two, going forward, understand it's a choice. It's a choice to stay offended. Read with me Luke 17, 3 and 4 in your notes. If your brother sins against you 7 times in a day, 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The remedy is something called forgiveness. Jesus modeled it for us. He's hanging on the cross the last day of his life. The Roman soldiers are killing him, taking his life. And what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You talk about a high-level forgiveness factor of modeling. That's it. I don't know if I could do that. But Jesus modeled forgiveness. Now, there's a statement I'm going to have a genie put up. Here it is. You do not have permission to hold on to an offense. When you look at God's word, there's no permission to hang on to certain things. And this is one of them. Now, I won't minimize, let me go back to deep pain and heartache. But I will say this. When I was up at the jail Friday, it was pod D, the ladies' pod. We were talking about these same principles. And this one lady said this. Somebody had molested her daughter at an early age. She found out about it. And the guy's in prison, jail, wherever, till like 2039. She said this. I can never forgive him. She was just that clear. There's another lady in the pod, and she's 49, and she said this. She said, you know, my dad had molested her as a child, and it took her into her 40s before she could forgive her dad. Into her 40s. So this one girl says to this other girl who says, I can never forgive. And this other one says, well, I tell you what, there's a timing to it. You got to be ready for it, but it can happen. And the point of the story is God wants to free your heart. And in our life group last Tuesday night, we were talking about this theme. And we talked about how you hope for an apology from some people when they offend you. Or they do something wrong, you say, I just wish they'd say it. But sometimes you never get it. Isn't that true? And you can still get freed up on the inside, even though you don't ever receive that apology from the other person. Now, let me paraphrase 2 Corinthians 10 in your notes. Paul talks about strongholds. Let me explain that. A stronghold is a way you think about a situation. And then emotions tie into it, and you build a stronghold up in your mind and heart. It's a fortress inside. And some strongholds are really bad. They work against us. And so Paul says, listen, be careful of your strongholds. You can tear them down through grace so your heart gets freed up. But when you think about offendedness, here's another quote. What we focus on, we empower. Now, we are good at rehearsing things, aren't we, in our minds? And we can go to bed at night and rehearse things. We can do this for years. And you know what we rehearse? The offense. But on the other hand, if we focus on this thing called forgiveness and grace, it's a totally different deal, and it begins to tear down the stronghold inside us. Paul says, take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. In other words, God wants to set you free. If you've been offended deeply, it may take time, but he wants you to look at it differently so you can be set free. 2 weeks from today will be part three of the message. I think it'll be my favorite one. Let me tell you why. I want to talk about when you are really angry and mad, not at somebody else, but at yourself. It's when you are just angry and there's a pocket of rage or hate towards not another person, not towards God. You are angry with yourself. You know why? You somehow made a bad choice or decision 15, 20 years ago, and you are angry with you. And God says, love yourself. How do I get out of that prison? How do I get out of that trap? That's for the third message coming up in 2 weeks. Today, we focus on, what we focus on, we empower. So here's a quote. Forgiving someone relieves stress and blood pressure. I was reading some information from Mayo Clinic, and they talk about the medical benefits of forgiveness. What happens is when we get to the place of forgiving, it frees up the toxicity within ourselves. We try and release the anger and resentment. We try and get rid of it. And there's medical benefits from it. And so Sometimes forgiveness is more for you than it is for the other person. The other person may not even realize it or compute it, or they don't get it, but if you forgive, let me tell you, it's more about you getting free and out of the trap so that you have a better life. And Jesus said, forgiveness is a way of life that you got to figure out. You apply it to others and you apply it to yourself. And when you do that, you live free. You have a greater sense of love flow in your life. Here's a quote. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. You've heard that. Unforgiving spirit. You think you're punishing the other person, but you're really drinking poison and you want the other person to die. A lot of truth to that, isn't it? But the point is that, number one, everybody's going to get offended in life. It's just going to happen. But number two, listen, it's a choice to stay offended. It's a choice. Some offenses we get past quickly. Others take a little bit more time. Others may take years, but we go to work on the stronghold. We want to tear it down because I don't want that in my life because it restricts the love I have for other people, because I got a wall inside me, because I'm hanging on to a hurt and offense that somebody did to me 10 or 15 years ago. Jesus says, I've come to set you free. You will be free indeed. All right. So those are the two truths about offenders. Let me conclude, and then we're going to share in communion. Two responses on an offense. Number one, or letter A. One response is this: you hold on to your anger, disappointment, resentment, unforgiveness, and revenge. You just hang on to it. And by the way, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, revenge is mine, who? Saith the Lord. Do you know what revenge is? It's God's job. He'll get back at the other person, but you know what we do? We try to do God's job. I will get back with them. I will get even with them. And you know what happens when we act on that revenge impulse? We so complicate it all the further, it gets to be a bigger mess. You know why? It's God's job. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not my job. But one way we respond to offenses is that we just hang on to the stuff. We're inside the trap and we get stuck. All right. The second response is this. It's when we trust God's word, and listen, we choose to forgive, and we claim freedom going forward. Let me tell you, here's what choice is. It's not an emotion. We're too tangled up on the inside. But when you choose with your will to forgive whatever it is, to release it, to get free of it, we will then begin to walk going forward in freedom, and we will get out of the trap. That's what Christ came to die for, so that you and I could enjoy freedom. Every one of us at some point takes the bait. What's the bait? The bait is offendedness from another person. Now, what we have to be careful is this: I have an expectation here, and performance comes in here. There's a gap. How do I deal with the gap? We're going to talk about that the next couple weeks. I want us to pray, and then Pastor Jack will come forward to lead us in the communion ritual. But I'd ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. We're just going to take a couple moments here. And let the Holy Spirit, right now, show you your heart. Have you got any strongholds, any walls that he wants to go to work on, that he wants you to work on, because you are in the trap, and Jesus came to set you free of it. So take a few moments of silence and say, God, show me my heart. Where do I need to begin to apply forgiveness grace and mercy. And here's the reason why. You do it for yourself. You want to be a better you. But you forgive that person or you forgive yourself for the sake of complete wholeness and a better sense of outlook going forward. Father, you're listening to the prayers of your people. I pray that beginning today and the next 2 weeks, there will be people here that you set free. Lord, maybe we've buried it. We've stuffed it. We've repressed it. We've just put it in the basement of our lives. And you want to pull it up. And you want us to face it, to confront it, to release it so that we can be free. And as one guy said at the jail, he didn't want to rent space to the enemy. So help us to free that up. And Lord, draw close to us. Give us a sense of insight and wisdom that you came that we could have a higher level of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.